If you are someone with cognitively distinct sense making, sometimes known as being autistic or ADHD, and you do culture creating, change making, world making work, then typical career ladders, market fit, and industry norms will always devalue what is transformative or unprecedented about your work. For the value of your work to be seen, you first have to see the value of it despite having interacted with systems that didn't see you. This calls you into an emancipated relationship to your own resources, your energy, your time, your focus, your unique insights and gifts, your relationships and your sense of self, where the future impact of your work dictates the terms and your desired standard for how resourced you feel in doing that work in your way is what makes that impact possible. Hi, I'm Louisa Shirey, and I'm on a mission to help you see the value of what you have to offer so that you can make your work recognized, sought after, and highly valued in the world. I call this Valorize. This is the underlying methodology used by visionaries, artists, facilitators, culture workers, creatives, change makers, people who successfully realized unprecedented culture shifting work while being well resourced. In this podcast, I'm showing you what it takes, how this journey feels, some of the common pitfalls along the way, and how you can move past them so that you can replicate this road less traveled and our world gets to be transformed by your work. Before we get into the three beliefs that in my view, in my experience, are vital for being able to embody a degree of conviction, a degree of congruence with that conviction, whereby everything about you, everything about what you're doing is just beaming out that the thing that your work valorizes holds value for other people in a way that attracts them into believing in it with you, the triple threat of courageous, contagious conviction is having these three beliefs, having a high percentage in these three beliefs. Belief in you, belief in your work, and belief in the people who your work is for. And I'm going to go deep into each one. But first, I want to just make a really clear distinction so we don't get our wires mixed, that your inherent worth as a life form, as a being, as a human being, is not up for debate. This is never what I'm talking about when I'm talking about value. What I'm talking about is created value, and that is completely separate from your inherent worth. Your inherent worth is infinite, is unquantifiable, and is because you exist, right? You exist. As much as we might like to think we are in control of all of this, none of us chose to have life. We were given life. And I'll leave it up to you and whatever belief system you have for why and how that happens. But I like to consider that the fact that you have life means that your life is inherently, undeniably, unquantifiably worthy of existence. Right? Because you exist. But sometimes this can get confused and caught up and mixed up with created value. We have a lot of ideas in the culture that are to do with things like charge your worth, which is really trying to convey the idea that when you have high self-esteem, the fees that you charge are also going to be high, which makes zero sense, because it depends on the economic model that you're operating in. Charging your worth, it has nothing to do with your worth. It has to do with what you are offering, to whom and how, and the cost of creating it, the cost of being able to offer it, and does it make sense? And none of that has anything to do with you, your self-worth, your inherent worth, your existence, being of value. And the same is true when navigating a world in which eugenics and capitalism and colonialism have been part of the backdrop, part of the history, part of the structural foundations of so much of our thinking and our world, whereby the idea that you are worthy of life because you are productive to a system still prevails in a lot of ways, right? You're only a legitimate human being. Your life is only worthy if you are a productive unit, if you are producing capital, if you are able to labor, if you are able to work, if you have work, right? If you have the ability to generate income or produce something or produce humans, give birth, right? So being a productive unit, the idea that you are somehow less worthy if you can't or you don't, or you have barriers to that, or that you're a burden if you have dependencies, if your life existence depends on the social state, depends on other people in a way that is less common than for most people, right? This idea of dependence and independence, we know from disabled thinkers and advocates how much of a lie this is. We can also observe, right, how much of our world is facilitating most people's way of going about living. And if that doesn't meet your needs, if your body is different, if you have impairments or you have things about you that are disabled by the way things are done normally, you just have different dependencies that are less catered for. And so making this distinction between your inherent worth, being worthy of everything you need and everything you want, and that being completely separate from created value, which is when you have things to give, a means of giving it, and you are creating and offering that. So your inherent worth, your self-worth, your worth as a being are not reflective of whatever your circumstances are, whatever your abilities are, whatever your level of attainment to receive in interacting with systems of exchange of value. And whether or not your needs and your wants are being met has nothing to do with you being worthy of your needs being met and your wants being met. You are worthy of all of it. And if we mix up our self-worth in with our work, we get into all sorts of trouble, right? You get into the trouble of measuring your sense of self-worth by how much people are embracing or recognizing or appreciating or valuing your work. However, if it's been your experience that your wants and needs are harder to come by, if you've had the experience of being devalued or what you have to bring not being recognized, it can affect what you imagine is possible for you in terms of what you have to give. It can impact your sense of who you are, being someone for whom your work being highly valued is not available to you because of who you are. Or if you are someone who you have been able to receive well, but it's cost you. It's cost something about you, something about your spirit, your sense of self, about who you get to be in this life. To the extent that you make compromises as normal, that you compromise yourself, you compromise your dreams, you compromise the way you best work, which can have a detrimental effect on your sense of your own worthiness to receive, to dream, to desire, to go big, to want more, to aspire for something. So working on these three beliefs does have a permissive effect of you returning to an experience of your own self-worth. Does have an effect on you being able to experience and access the sense of self-worth that should already be there, right? That you could already have. To say, yeah, I am worthy of more. I am worthy of aspiring and I'm worthy of the desires I have. The uniqueness of the dreams that are in me are something I am worthy of pursuing. Your relationship to your own resources, your own needs and your own desires can often be one of what a lot of people call scarcity mindset, can be one where you are very oriented to the possibility and the threat of lack, of not having enough. And it can be very easy to mix that up with, and therefore I'm not enough. I am not enough. And so there is a state, a way of being, an orientation that is based in fear and that feels like it's productive, right? Which is where you are making sure that you get enough. But when you are knowing that you have self-worth, when that's not getting in the mix, when that's not up for grabs, when you know that you are enough, and also when you imagine that focusing on giving means you will have enough. And I say imagine because, yeah, of course, sometimes that's not true, right? But the state of being, the state that you access in your own body, the thinking that you have, the options that feel available open up when your orientation, when your focus is on giving. What can I contribute to? What can I be of service to? What am I able to help? What can I create? And so created value, creating something of value for someone else, for the world, for a vision, a future, for connection, for belonging, for whatever your work valorizes, when you focus on that, it also reminds you of your inherent worth. Like, I am good. I am enough. I have things to give. I don't need to operate from what am I going to get. The focus on getting reduces your options, always. It reduces your vision because you're looking for the short term. It has you relating to your own resources with a kind of protective concern, with a kind of false economy. Like, I need to scrimp and save, and I need to watch everything I'm doing. I need to maintain what I have. It's not enough. I need to go and get something. And the focus on getting will have you extracting from yourself in order to get it. You can't give what you don't have. And so knowing that everyone who has life also has something to give, that might not always look like what we understand to be productive. It might not look like what we always understand to be, oh, this is recognized value. But the focus on giving, the focus on blooming where you're planted, like, what do I, in who I am right now, have to offer for someone else or for the culture or the world that we're in? What do I know? What insight do I have? What imagination do I have? What can I connect to and say, yes, this matters and this is real? What can I valorize? Will always open up your horizons. It will expand your worldview. It will give you the experience of increased sense of connection to something beyond you. So how do you receive? How do you create more value coming to you? Is by valorizing, is by focusing on what do you want to give to? What holds meaning for you enough to give your resources to it? Your time, your energy, your effort, your attention, your decisions, the way that you structure your life, and that there is some impact, some consequence of you giving in that direction that you are deciding holds the most value, that you are determining has value and are valuing it with who you're being and what you're doing. And you being able to do that well, you being able to have an impact for your work to do things, for the things that you dream of giving to, for that to actually be something that is experienced by someone else enough to have a chance to value it, that is the skill to valorize, and that has nothing to do with your inherent worth. That the economic model that you're operating and the way in which you are able to sustain and expand that, like, what makes you giving to that possible? What makes you more possible in the giving towards it, aka what you might charge, or how resources flow from you and to you? That has nothing to do with your worth. So I'm glad we've cleared that up, and let's get into the three beliefs.